Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, August 17th, 2017. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll talk with Nathan Bodenstadt about the first-year experience at UAS, learn about the Community Gardens Harvest Fair on Saturday with John Thedinga and Alan Davis. We'll talk about Dankrupt's Summer Shakedown Concert this weekend at Pier 49. Ruth Johnson from Cancer Connection will highlight this Saturday's Beat the Odds event. And we'll get our weekly update from the folks at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council with Arts Up. Those interviews, National Native News Writers Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon. Currently 52 degrees with light rain here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native Americans in Michigan protested the docking of replica Christopher Columbus ships in Traverse City Wednesday. Citizens of the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians planned a peaceful protest as a way to educate the public about Native American genocide. The Maritime Heritage Alliance arranged for two ships to visit the city as part of a tour in a number of ports across the country. Local television news stations report a number of people took to both land and water, some in canoes, to show opposition of the ships. The ships are scheduled to remain docked in Michigan through next week. A coalition of tribal representatives, conservationists, business owners, and others are speaking out over what they say is the value of national monuments. The push comes a week before Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is scheduled to release his recommendations on the fate of at least 17 national monuments across the country at the direction of President Trump. During a conference call with reporters, Fawn Douglas, a member of the Las Vegas Paiute tribe, says the designation has helped protect Gold Butte National Monument in Nevada.
The Las Vegas Paiute tribe and the Moapa Band of Paiutes, along with other conservation groups and other tribes around the southern Utah and Arizona area, have worked together, you know, for years to get this designation in place. This was a step in the right direction for the government to listen to the voices of the indigenous peoples and to work with the other people. You know, we all had a common goal, and that's land conservation.
Obama designated the monument in December of last year at the request of tribes and others who were concerned about vandalism of petroglyphs and the destruction of other archaeological treasures. Tribal leaders in North Dakota are meeting with Governor Doug Burgum. The governor and other state officials traveled to the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe Tuesday. Tribal and state leaders signed a memorandum of understanding during the meeting. It directs state and tribal authorities to coordinate on elk management and law enforcement efforts within the boundaries of the reservation. State leaders also recently met with the Mandan Hidatsa Narikara Nation in Newtown to discuss a number of issues with tribal leaders, including water, law enforcement, and taxes. Thunder Valley Community Development Corporation is celebrating its 10-year anniversary this month. The nonprofit is located on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. And as Jim Kent reports, community involvement is key in creating change and opportunities for Lakota people.
Those are pretty lofty goals for any group to have, especially in an area that's regularly listed among the poorest places in America. But Thunder Valley spokesperson Cecily Engelhart advises other tribal communities that the only way to make an impact on a difficult situation is to think big.
Every community is going to have different priorities, so our advice is to tap into your local voices and local talent to see what you can even dream up for the future and then figure out how to achieve your goal. Because if you look at it as, well, we don't have the money or we don't have the resources, then you're never going to fulfill the full capacity of your community. You have to dream big and then figure out how you're going to reach that goal.
Over the past 10 years, Thunder Valley's big dreams have brought Lakota students their language through immersion programs, created a geothermal greenhouse, community gardens, and established a home ownership program. The group has also built 7 of 21 single-family homes planned for its regenerative community that will include powwow grounds, an art gallery, a farmer's market, and a fitness center. A couple of restaurants are also on the board to draw visitors to the community. The ultimate goal, notes Engelhart, is to continue creating sustainable programs that will empower Lakota youth and families to improve their health, their culture, and their environment. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Support by BNSF Railway, proud partners of the American Indian Science and Education Society's National Conference, September 21st to 23rd, helping prepare the next generation of STEM leaders. More at bnsf.com/tribalrelations.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's about 6 minutes after the hour. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, August 17th, 2017. Scott Burton, your host today, and in the studio now is Nathan Bodenstadt. He is the first-year experience advisor out at UAS, which starts about a week and a half now, Nathan?
Yeah, like we're just a few days out.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today. All right, so students are coming from all over or locally, getting ready to move into the dorms. What are they thinking about?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. When we're just about a week out like this, we have students doing a lot of packing right now, and they're calling and asking us questions about the sizes of sheets that go on the bed, and can they send themselves mail, and how close are they going to be to campus, and all kinds of things like that that we don't often think about, right? You know, we always know what the size of sheets are for our beds, or where we're going to go to the store, and what kind of access to things there are in Juneau, you know, that maybe some students, especially those from out of town, don't think about. We've got parents calling and asking a lot of those same questions. And it's really just a really engaging time to have students coming to campus. And some of them are nervous and they're excited. And there's just a lot going on all at once. And some of them are coming from even outside of the country and learning about what it's like to be in the U.S. and be in Alaska and be in Juneau and getting to know all kinds of new people that maybe they've never met before.
Okay, and there is a new dormitory. How many years has that been there now?
John Pugh Hall opened in the fall of 2014, so we've had residents in it for 3 years, and this should be the fourth, if I'm doing my math correctly. And I've had the pleasure and the privilege of being the person who lives in that hall for a few years now and just getting to see how it's changed our campus and really created an opportunity for first-year students to have better access to resources and attend more events and really just get to see some of the most beautiful views in Juneau. If you're standing in our third floor commons, you get to see the glacier and the lake on a beautiful day, and it's really quite an experience.
I bet. And so orientation is a week from today, right?
Yeah, a week and 1 day, next Friday.
Okay. And tell us about who should be going to orientation.
Yeah, so this year, all of our new students who are enrolled in 12 credits or more that have classes on the Juneau campus are required to attend new student orientation. And that's a really great opportunity not only to learn about the campus and where things are and what resources they are, but also to experience Juneau a little bit for those that are from out of town, and even to get to know your peers, right? That's a huge component of just getting started in college, is getting to know the people that are around you and what your resources are and what the community that you're living in is like.
Okay, so that's on Friday, right, the 25th?
That's correct, Friday and Saturday.
Okay, both days. And where's it located? What time does it start? All that stuff.
So new student orientation starts in our Lakeside Grill, which is the Morant building on the main Juneau campus. I believe it begins at 8 a.m. that morning, and we have a check-in, and the chancellor generally comes in and does a welcome, and we have Alaska Native drummers, and we go throughout that day. And then we do the second day also on the main Juneau campus, and we also take students out whale watching that afternoon, which is a pretty great opportunity, especially for those out-of-town people.
What do you think surprises the out-of-towners the most?
Oh, gosh. Juneau is a really interesting place for students because for some, this is the little town, right? You have people coming from these really big communities, and for this, for them, this is the small town feel. And for others, it is the bustling city, someone who might be from a rural village. And I think that's always really interesting to see that meeting of those two different groups and to have them compare notes about what their experience was like growing up and exploring Juneau know, with very different perspectives.
You mentioned a little bit earlier about things like sheets and that kind of, you know, little stuff. What do you think is the most challenging thing for students coming in this first year?
Oh, gosh. I think when you're talking about college in general, you're learning about a lot more self-drive, right? So for high school students, whether you're homeschooled or even attending a public or a private school, there's a lot of checks and balances to make sure you're stopping and keeping up on everything and making sure you're getting your work in on time and you're attending class and your teachers, your principal are calling your family if you didn't show up one day. And college is just very different. It requires you to really jump on in and be engaged and recognize that your schedule is going to vary from day to day, and you are going to have these big gaps in the day that you have to know you want to fill with scheduling and not just go back and take a nap. So I think that motivation component is a huge part, and that's something that we really try to help people with, is motivation and time management and just being aware of when you're driving your own ship, as it were, you know, educationally, that there's a lot more that you have to do to stay on top of it.
If people want more information about orientation, where should they go, Nathan?
So if you go to our UAS website, and you can type in orientation into that search bar, and you'll get to our orientation page. It's got a lot of wonderful information in there, including our full schedule for the weekend with all of our additional events that we're offering, as well as who's expected to attend. We offer a parent orientation, and so parents who are interested in learning more about the experience can sign up for parent orientation there. And then we also have a new student guide, which is about a 40-page PDF that has information about all of our different resources on campus, how to read a course schedule, has a campus map, an academic calendar, and a lot of really important tools for getting you started in the college environment and at UAS in particular.
All right. Nathan, before we go, what's the biggest piece of advice you give to incoming freshmen?
I always say lean into it and try something new. Even for a Juno student, this is a really great opportunity to try new things, to meet new people. Like I said, we've got international students and students from all over the United States that are coming to town and are wanting to explore. And I've found that for the Juno student who maybe forgets everything that's wonderful about their hometown, that this is a really great opportunity for them to rediscover Juno, to rediscover UAS, and to engage with a lot of diverse people without ever having to leave their hometown.
Okay. Nathan Bodenstadt, thank you for coming on Orientation next Friday the 25th and Saturday the 26th at UAS. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
She ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout. He started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Oh, what did mama saw? It was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time the name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical preachers come to get me released, we's all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
seeing me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and prescribe solutions. Northern Audiology and Hearing Services. Information at 789-6780.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, August 17th, 2017. Scott Burton, your host, is about 16 minutes after the hour. In the studio with me now are Alan Davis and John Thettinga. They are both on the Juno Community Garden Board of Court. What do you call that again?
That'd be Board of Directors.
Board of Directors.
Yeah.
Board of Coordinators, Board of Directors. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Thanks for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you.
All right, so Harvest Fair this Saturday, August 19th. Tell us about it.
Well, this is the 25th Harvest Fair, and it opens at 11 o'clock for the public, so that's the when all the public events begin, like the farmers market and the tours and that kind of thing. Now, if you're going to enter something for the exhibits, you want to be there between 9 and 10:15. And what happens there is your exhibits get judged. So you say you can enter a vegetable or a flower or that type of thing, and we'll have actual judges there that'll award first, second, third places and ribbons for those. So,
and do you have to do any kind of pre-registration or just show up between 9 and 10:15?
Yep, show up right then, and there'll be people there helping you register.
Yeah.
And
that's available to the public. You don't have to be a member or even associated with the garden.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to mention specifically that we have, a regular adult set of prizes, and there's also a parallel youth division for all of those. And we have everybody. All the youth division gets same ribbons and awards as the regular division.
Give us an example of what awardees have presented in years past. What wins at these?
Well, let's see. There's a whole selection of different divisions that we judge. My favorite is the market or harvest basket, a basket or a box or something like that, and an arrangement of usually vegetables and flowers. Maybe a jar of jam or something, just kind of demonstrating the array of things that we have.
Okay, that's the voice of Alan Davis. He's the event coordinator. John, maybe you could describe, I think, is that what's in this picture is a harvest basket?
Yeah, that is. That is one of the harvest baskets.
What's in there?
Oh, my goodness. There's a few dahlia flowers. There's some kale and chard. Yeah. There's looks like a zucchini. What else we got
garlic.
There? Oh, don't forget the garlic. You bet. And some herbs. There's herbs, and somebody tucked in a little. It looks like a little package of homegrown eggs too. There, just to add to it.
The quintessential garden Juno garden basket right there.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
that's
beautiful.
Right. One other thing, Scott, I might add is that there are all these different categories. You get your vegetables. And under the vegetables, you have potatoes and all kinds of different things, lettuce, kohlrabi. So if you want to look on our website, it'll show this stuff and the different things you need to bring different amounts. So for instance, kale, you'd bring 5 stalks to exhibit. Beets, 3, and that type of thing. Rutabaga, only 1. So that varies between what you you want to show. So, anyway, again, emphasize that it's not just for garden folks. It's community garden folks. It's for anybody in town that has a little garden, wants to see how their flowers or produce are going to fare amongst all the fellow Juno gardeners.
All right. Backing up just a little bit, maybe to you, Alan, tell us what is the Juneau Community Garden and the Board of Directors and how it relates and who's involved.
Well,
and where this is exactly and how to get there.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. The Community Garden is located out on Montana Creek. The address is 5669 Montana Creek Road. It's just past the Juneau Gun Club. As you turn in the corner by the Gun Club, we're the next on the left. And there's a sign. There will be more signs. The community garden is actually city land that we lease on a year-to-year basis, and is divided up into plots that are 10 feet by 20 feet. People lease a plot for a season at a time. And if you maintain yourself in good standing, you can renew that same plot year after year. Each plot is, planted as the person wants to. Some of them are nothing but, perennial flowers, a lot of vegetables. A lot of people produce a lot of potatoes and carrots, and other people are producing just all kinds of stuff.
Okay. John, what's your favorite thing to grow?
Well, I like to grow garlic. I like to grow it and eat it. I also am into growing dahlias, too, so I do grow quite a few dahlias. And recently just started growing asparagus, so that's kind of fun. I didn't think it would actually grow here, but it's doing okay.
Okay. So. And if people don't want to participate but just come and look, and are there vegetables for sale and things that people can take home?
That's what the farmer's market is. Members of the garden who have kind of excess produce contribute it to the farmer's market, and it's sold as a fundraiser. But it's available to the public. That starts at 11, and you should get there, 11 or before, because there's usually a line, and it sells fast.
Okay, so get early if you want produce.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, we usually have quite a bit of stuff, but there's a high interest in that. So
Last 2 years we've had just a mountain of carrots, and we've sold every carrot. It's just kind of amazing.
I see on here you can sign up for plots for 2018. How available are they?
Well, they're pretty popular now, and actually there's a waiting list of about 30 people.
Okay.
But we do get a bit of a turnover, so if people are interested in signing up, they should either sign up at the Harvest Fair, or they can go online to our website. Just do a search for Juneau Community Garden, and you can sign up electronically there, and you will get on the waiting list. So,
okay, this sounds like a lot of fun on Saturday.
Oh, it is. It really is.
You guys look forward to it?
Yeah. It's fun to see all the things people have grown. And one category I did want to mention is the largest and unusual. So people do bring all kinds of
things. You have to describe that picture you're showing me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that is a zucchini with a kohlrabi head with a couple carrots for eyes and a nose, and a couple carrot legs with a couple, I think, kale, big floppy kale ears. So that would go under the unusual category.
And what kind of animal is it emulating, would you say?
Oh, goodness sakes, what do you think? That's really hard to say. What do you think, Scott? Well, we always get some really large zucchinis in the large division, maybe a large turnip or something like that. That's always fun to see the really big stuff that grows around here, too.
Well, I bet there's more information at junocommunitygarden.org.
Yeah. Yep, there sure is, and there'll be stuff about how to register and different things in there, too, for the fair.
And also, I want to mention, at the garden, in the pump shed, there are some brochures instructions about how to prepare your exhibits. If if you have a good set of string beans, how do you make them, how many to put in, and how to prepare them and get them ready for the exhibit.
Okay. Alan Davis, John Thedinga, thank you guys for coming on and telling us about the Harvest Fair this Saturday, basically from 9 a.m. or 11 to 1:30. More information at junocommunitygarden.org. It's out on Montana Creek Road off of Back Loop Road, and kind of wind your way left, and there you guys are on the left out there.
Yep, yeah. There's a nice sign right at the road, too, and there'll be actually there'll be parking and people directing it at the gun range. They're letting us a lot of people park there. So
okay.
It's pretty busy with cars.
The garden and the gun range working together.
Yeah, that's right.
Good neighbors. Thanks, guys. Anything else you want to add?
I think that's it. Thank you, Scott.
Pretty well sums it up. Yep.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks,
guys. Listening to California Every Day by Dankrupt. They are in town to play. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. It's nice to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
All right, so you're part of the Shakedown that's happening this Saturday.
It's Shaken Down.
Pier 49.
We're looking at 8 p.m. It's 20 pre-sale, $20 pre-sale, 25 at the door, so get them early. There's three bands, and you should get there at 8 if you're cool.
All right, that's the voice of Nick Banaszak. He plays bass. You're from Juneau, right, Nick?
I am, yeah. I'm like everyone else.
Okay. Here.
Yeah.
But you've been down in L.A. for a while, and now you're back.
Yeah, went down there for music school like 5 years ago now. So we're bringing it home, finally. Half a decade, but we're here.
Right on. And will you introduce the other guys in the room with us, please?
To my right, I got Grant Bogaret. He plays guitar in the band, and will be serenading you with his voice. And then on the far right, we got Derek Shields.
He's on keys.
He's playing those keys for you.
Excellent. So we're listening to you guys right now, and I'm bringing up a little bit. How would you guys describe your sound?
Cali rock. It's that beautiful blend of the influences in California, funk, rock, reggae, soul, all sorts of beautiful blends of the chaos that happens in California.
And how did you guys come together, Grant?
Well, we all went to the same music school, and then we ended up, I mean, it was just the same interest in starting a band, not being a solo project, just coming together as, you know, an entity to really bring our creative energies into one band and make it, you know, really just rocking stages, trying to go international and tour, and we all just met at the end of school and put it together.
Okay. Derek, what are you most proud of about this band right here?
I just think the collective collaboration between artists, because we all kind of bring a different element to the band. So you have, you know, our guitar player who's very Guns N' Roses slash loves to kind of like rip heavier, harder.
That's Grant,
riffs.
Right? Who we were just talking to, right?
I'm on the more
yeah,
soul.
Yeah, at times, yes. That's also Enrique, our guitar player.
Oh, got it, okay.
So then you got Nick, who's very funk-oriented and slap and cool bass lines. You got our drummer. So it's just kind of mixing up the five different things. It's cool to have a unique sound and a unique collaboration of artists. That's kind of what I'm proud of to show the world.
You've mentioned collaboration a couple times. Do you guys work together to write songs? How's that work?
Yeah, we all throw in. Grant does do a lot of lyric writing. Derek also sings about half the stuff. So they'll bring in an idea, or I'll bring in a bass riff, or the drummer will just play a groove and we'll go, that's a song. Somehow that's a song. And then that's where you get to put in your creativity. Your time gets to show because you get to actually produce something, you know, your own art, your own work, which is awesome. You know, we love the greats. We follow our idols. We play covers, but we really do try to make something new that none of us have heard, that's just something different.
Yeah, and every song has a different story. If you ask how California Every Day in specific was written, it is totally different from Father Time or Let Love. I mean, every song has a different story from different members and different backing, you know, inspiration.
I have Father Time playing in the background right now. Can you set us up a little for that?
So that, for any musicians out there, came from the beautiful metronome. We were just literally trying to practice and be on time, and that annoying click, and then
yeah,
out
we
of
finished
nowhere,
a song.
It was a song in the same key, and I just started playing one note, and then Enrique started harmonizing the note, D's on the keys started harmonizing, the drums dropped in, and we were like, oh my lord, that's it, and let's, then it just came together.
Let's take a listen. Nice harmonies on that, too. Is that you, Grant and Derek, harmonizing right there?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Very nice. All right, so the Shakedown is Shaken Down this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the details on that.
Good beer, good people, a little rain, but, you know, we're in Juneau, so it's time to step up and show us what we're all made of. So, no, they're great down there. We just talked with them. They're going to have it all covered, heat lamps, good food. I think they're going to run a special, actually, like some type of very cheap taco.
Special, we'll see.
You can buy 10 of these tacos for one beer, is I think how we're looking at it. So.
Got it. And let's see, I heard the night starts with Ryan Cortez and Ryan Bueller, and then you guys, and then Harrison B. Like, what a great lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's I know I've talked to Jordan from Harrison B., and he has got some great music. If anyone has not checked that out, please do.
Yeah, I'm happy we finally got it going, because Nick has been telling me about his buddies from school. I know J.R. is the one I remember he played with in high school or something, and
yep,
heard about Harrison B. for how long now, and now we're in Alaska playing with the guy, so it's
a big full circle. I've got high school friends that are playing with in Harrison B., and I'm, of course, from California, you know, with Grant and D coming up, so it's a big eclectic mix.
All right, and it about starts up at 8 o'clock down there.
Yes, 8.
And
yes.
Nick, how would you describe to our listeners how to get to Pier 49?
There's a huge tram up in the mountains. You look up, you're gonna see a bunch of cables running down, and if you follow those down, you will find Pier 49.
Or type it in on Google, Pier 49. I think it will take you there.
That might work, too.
It could work, if you can find cell service.
The analog way, look for the cables, and the technology way.
The California way, just Google it.
Remind us where tickets are and how people can get them.
Right now, if you check any of the Facebooks of either Harrison B. or Dankrupt Us, we've got links all up and down our walls. I think Brown Paper Bag Tickets, if you look up the Shakedown on that website, that's, I think, what they're doing the digital through. You can always show up at the door if you procrastinate like I do and just bring cash.
I forgot to ask you about the name Dankrupt. How'd that come to be?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
I mean, a couple too many beers. We were just looking, found the word, and we all have created our own evolution of the meaning at this point, but it's it's resembling just the dank is the good. We just got back from Pier 49, had a nice cold beer, some good lunch, some Pelmini, some dank Pelmini. When people are dankrupt, they're lacking that good. So hopefully through the vibes and music, we can present that and make it happen.
All right. 8 o'clock. It starts this Saturday.
8 p.m.
down there. Check out the Summer Shakedown or any of your guys' Facebook pages. We're going out here on Let Love. You guys want to, anyone tell us what to listen for in this number?
Just the bass. The whole song. Just only the bass. All that's
right,
all
Nate
that's
B.
worth listening
to. D's, what's the message?
He's right. Listen to that funky bass. That's what carries us through.
Great, guys. Anything else you want to add?
Thank you very much for having us, man. We love you.
Yeah, thank you, KTOO. Definitely tune in. I believe they're going to be playing music all day.
We'll see you Saturday, and hopefully sooner than that, be back.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
40 years ago, the first barrel of oil flowed down the Trans-Alaska pipeline.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, it goes, shh, and I just woke up and I went, oil's in.
Midnight Oil is a new series and podcast from Alaska's Energy Desk about the pipeline that shaped the state. Visit KTOO.org or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Thursday, August 17th, about 20 minutes until the top of the hour. In the studio now is Ruth Johnson. She's the board president over at Cancer Connection. Welcome to the show, Ruth.
Thank you, Scott.
It's nice to have you. And the Beat the Odds race against cancer is this Saturday, is that right?
That's right. 9 o'clock, Riverbend School. We'll have all the usual assortment of volunteers and a brief talk. And I know it's going to be cold and wet, so to you runners out there, I'll try and get you running as fast as possible.
Tell us a little bit about Cancer Connection.
Cancer Connection is about 20 years old now, and it was founded to support people diagnosed with cancer in all of Southeast Alaska. And we can help out if you just need someone to talk to, need some help finding some place to stay in Seattle. We have some travel reimbursement grants. We have a monthly support group. We also provide community education. We host an annual health forum at Centennial Hall. It will be November 4th this year. We host the annual celebration of life for the survivors in our community, National Cancer Survivors Day in Juneau. So we're a little event intense, it feels some.
Yeah, and what does the organization look like, boots on the ground, so to speak, here in Juneau?
It's a very grassroots organization. Yeah, most of the medical
boots
clinics.
Boots on the grass, we should say, right?
Yeah, boots on, yeah.
Extra toughs.
Extra
on the
toughs,
grass.
Exactly. That's where I was going. We have a couple of part-time office staff right down in the Sale Orca building on Hospital Drive. And we're very volunteer-driven, a very active board of volunteer board members who literally carry a phone in the pocket. If there's not someone in our office, if you call Cancer Connection looking for support and there's no one in the office, you'll get a board member answering that call.
Okay. So support, advocacy, education, events, none of that is cheap. And so this is one of your fundraisers. Is that
this
right?
This is our flagship fundraiser.
Okay.
It really is. This is this was started by Kathy Brissett, a one-woman event when she was diagnosed with cancer in about 1992, I think. Yikes. Maybe a little later. This is our 26th. We took it over about 12, 13 years ago from Juneau Glacier Valley Rotary. It had gotten too big for Kathy to run on her own. The Rotary stepped in as Cancer Connection sort of became the umbrella organization for cancer support in our community. It was handed off to us.
Okay. So Saturday, registration starts at what time?
Pre-registration, I should announce, is now over. Online registration has been closed, and all of the locations where you could pre-register are shut down. We close that down noon Thursday so we can complete the pre-registration documentation tomorrow.
And you said over 200 pre-registries,
yeah, we've
right?
got a little over 200 pre-registers so far. And so the day of the event, it starts at 9. If you're not pre-registered, I recommend getting there between 8 and 8:30, and we will have a whole crew of volunteers from LG Rayfeld Mertz to help you get registered in person.
Okay. Is it competitive, fun? How
there's
would you describe
there's
the
both.
Atmosphere?
There's both. There's a competitive element for the racers. It's a 2-mile run, and it's we get the runners started first. And then after the runners start, it's a 5K run. I'm sorry. It's a 5K run and then followed by 2-mile walk.
Okay. All right. And what are registration fees like?
It's day of race, $30.
Okay. And again, all of this goes to support Cancer Connection.
Yes, it does.
Sounds like fun. And by all those pre-registries, it sounds like people aren't going to care about the weather.
You know, it always surprises me how many people will turn out in the rain in Juneau. It's a wonderful town. It also surprises me how often in weather like this in this town, we have little windows of sunshine for our lovely events. So I've still got my fingers crossed, but wishing I had 350 umbrellas. But anyway, we do have enough T-shirts for up to 350, 400 registrants. So we still have plenty of T-shirts if you haven't registered yet.
Okay, Ruth Johnson, Board President of Cancer Connection. Anything else that you would like to add?
Well, first of all, I'd love to thank my sponsors, like Super Bear, who will be there with all kinds of snacks and goodies for you, and Crystal with the Grind will be there with a hot cup of coffee for you, which is nice in this warm weather. And on the back of your shirt, you'll see our big longtime sponsors, Valley Medical, Anchor Electric, Alaska Airlines. And, yes, we will be door prize raffling off an Alaska Airlines Unlimited ticket, along with many other door prizes, NAO, Foggy Mountain. People donate some wonderful coats, and we'll have plenty of door prizes to stick around for. Bartlett Regional Hospital, Baxter Bruce and Sullivan, Southeast Radiation Oncology, Wells Fargo, LG Rayfield Mertz, Valley Paint, Southeast Radiology Consultants, Alaska Outdoor Warehouse, Fox River. Again, we'll have socks from Fox River this year, but the race has gotten to be a bigger event. We don't have socks for everyone. If you self-identify as a cancer survivor, you'll have a pair of socks from Fox River. GCI, Southeast, Cath TV for the Southeast Television Station in combination with GCI has been running our TV ads. The Longaberger North Lights team, Northern Light team, Juno, McDonald's, NAO, the Inland Boatman Union, K2, thank you very much, Scott, Solarad, LLC, Certified Radiologist. The Southeast Sleep Center is a new sponsor. They have a special treat for everyone at the end of the race tomorrow. You'll just have to come see what that is. Printing Trade, Juno Obstetrics and Gynecology, REMAX, and again, Super Bar with snacks. That's a bunch. It's a true community event.
Yeah, indeed.
Yep.
All right, Ruth Johnson, she'll be out there on Saturday, 8 a.m.-ish. Get there for if you need to register. Otherwise, get there at 9 if you're already registered. What do you
say? That's right.
All right. Anything else, Ruth?
No. See you there.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Community of Juno. Bye-bye.
Afternoon here on Thursday, August 17th, about 10 minutes until the top of the hour. And my guest is Nancy DeCherney, all the way over from the Juno Arts and Humanities Center, and or Culture Center, I should say. And we're here for Arts Up.
You know what today is?
Yeah. What is today, Nancy?
It's National Black Cat Appreciation Day. So that's a thing.
What
and
else?
It's many things today. Baby Boomers Recognition Day, Balloon Airmail Day, National I Love My Feet Day, National Number 2 Pencil Day. And I see we don't have any number 2 pencils in here, so we have to fix that. National Nonprofit Day, and I'm here to tell you. National Thrift Shop Day and National Vanilla Custard Day. We got a lot to do.
We do. Not to mention it's Thursday before a weekend in Juneau.
Yeah, so we got a few things to do.
For example?
Also. Well, let's see, there's something called Tour of Juneau, and it starts at the Mendenhall River School. Have you talked about this with anybody?
Negative.
I don't know. Okay, it's the first race starts at 6:45 p.m. It's a two-mile course from the Mendenhall Bridge to the Montana Creek Gun Range. You register at 5, bring your bike and helmet, and join us for one or all of the weekend's races. There are three of them. So you start there. There's Friday Night Live on Friday night at Alaska Fish and Chips Company. Go down there from 7 to 9. They have live music and cornhole and all kinds of stuff. And you don't have to be outside in this rain, for example. Saturday at 8:30 in the morning is the number 2 race. It starts at Fish Creek Road and goes up Eagle Crest. So you bring your bike helmets and all that. From 9 to 12 is the 26th annual Beat the Odds race, which starts at Riverbend School. So, you know, this is a lot of racing around, if you ask me, for this weekend. I'm not sure about that. From 10:30 to 12, it's City Museum Family Day and Day of Play at the City of Museum. Our August Family Day is part of the CBJ's annual Day of Play. I think there's a lot of things going on around town with regard to that. So you can check. There's going to be a scavenger hunt and I Spy and all sorts of things going on. That's free at the museum, and I think all the Day of Play things are free. At 11, from 11 to 1:30, it's the Juneau Community Garden Harvest Fest. You can tell it's fall and harvest time by the rain.
Yep, and we did talk about that today.
Okay, good. All right. And from 11 to 3, Neighbors Day at Capitol Park and 5th and Seward Street. It's a special fun event hosted to reach out to make new friends and thank everybody for making downtown a great place. Join us for music, snacks, activities, and a bouncy house. So Parks and Rec is going to host some games in the Gaga Pit. So come on up for Day of Play on Saturday at Capitol Park. There's Ted Stevens Marine Institute 10th anniversary. It's amazing, isn't it? Where'd those 10 years go? That's out on Lena Loop. It'll be open, and there'll be tours and talks and all that sort of stuff. It'll be free. The third race of the Tour of Juneau starts at 3:30 on Mill Street at the Alaska Shirt Company Warehouse. It starts at 4. It's a 9-mile course from Mill Street to the end of Thane and back. So
page one.
Down. Cornhole at Alaska Fish and Chips Company from 6 to 10, and Summer Shakedown at Pier 49. It's a new location. Happening down there on 406 South Franklin Street. Harrison B. with Dan Krupp. It's 21+. Go on down and check that out. On Sunday, the Tour of Juneau at Mile 18. This is the fourth race, which starts at Mile 18. There are two courses. The 48-mile long course. My sentiments exactly. Yes, and Scott's eyes said it all. Start at 48 and go to mile 42 and back to mile 18. Anyway, if you like to run, go on out there and do that. On Sunday, also at 4 p.m., we have the Mayor's Awards for the Arts. This was originally scheduled for Friday night, and we've rescheduled it to Sunday afternoon at 4 at the Jack. There'll be the Mayor's Awards and the annual meeting and ice cream Sundays. So I hope y'all come. It's free. And we want to see you. On Monday, there's free tours of the House of Wickershams, coming to the end of those pretty soon. There'll be a round table at the Jack on Tuesday from 5 to 6:30. This is for arts folks who are interested in the arts, who want to just get to know other people and find out what's going on. So come on down for that. We've got, school started, so now there's English classes, Ultimate Frisbee on Wednesday from 8 to 10, and that's kind of what I got for you.
Cool. What else is going on right over there at the Jack? What's on your radar?
Well, okay, so Tribe Called Red's coming to town. And we were going to start the... Yeah.
Nice work.
Yeah. Well, we're doing it in collaboration with Sea Alaska Heritage. They're going to be in Alaska for the AFN convention. It's in October. We're having them here in Juneau on October 19th. And the tickets will go on sale live on the web and at Hearthside Books at 5 o'clock on Friday. So you can start getting your tickets for that.
Centennial or JDHS?
It's going to be Centennial Hall.
Got it.
Yeah. So, it's going to be a great event. We've on Sunday is when we're going to release the whole lineup of our season tickets. We've got in November a group called La Santa Cecilia, and if you haven't heard of them, you should go visit their Grammy Award-winning great Latin sounds, and they deal with a little bit of political issues and stuff like that just to get us all, like, riled up. We have the holiday pops and all those things going on. Wearable art is getting ready. We have Molten. I hope people are out there making their Molten dresses and outfits. I'm really excited. We have Akiko is doing our set design again, so, and Margot is directing again. I'm really excited to see what they come up with. And those tickets are going to go on sale December 1st, unless you become a special donor to the New Jack, in which case those people get the first dibs on wearable art tickets this year.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Yes.
When will we be sitting in the New Jack? Do you predict?
Okay.
Nancy DeCherney, right. On record.
Here's our game plan. Mm-hmm. We and it's kind of important, actually, that we do this, because there's a really big event that come to town every 2 years, Celebration. And Celebration needs both the Jack and Centennial Hall in order to be a success. The space, it takes up all that space. So our game plan is to be ready to take the Jack down after Celebration this June, and rebuild or build the new stuff and be ready for Celebration 2020.
What? So, like,
what?
Deconstruction this June 2018.
A year, basically, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it's getting serious, folks.
Yeah.
We mean it when we say it. But, you know, it's really, it's time. The community has been looking forward to this for many, many years. And it now is when we're going to do it. And like I said, there's a time constraint that I think makes it really imperative that we make our fundraising goal and we get that done.
Nancy DeCherney, ED of the Juneau Arts and Humanities Board.
Council.
Council,
whatever
thank
it is.
You. I've been having trouble with those today.
It's all right.
Thanks for coming on the show, Nancy.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into a Juneau Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, I'll be your host again, and we'll find out about the Downtown Business Association's Neighbors Day at Capitol Park. Peggy Ann McConaughey will be here with news about this year's Rotary Bulbs. Brad Orr and Chris Myrtle will be here to highlight the Mendenhall Master Plan. We'll hear about a class for educators, Alaska Agriculture in the Classroom, with Melissa Sykes. Sounds interesting. Tomorrow on in Juneau Afternoon, looking at the forecast for tomorrow. For tonight, calls for showers, lows around 49. And tomorrow looks like showers, highs near 52. Southeast wind around 15 miles per hour. And going into the weekend, Saturday, showers, highs near 54, chance of precip 80%. And Sunday, rain likely, cloudy with a high near 53, chance of precip 70%.